Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the STEM Files on Blog Talk Radio, where we highlight the best and brightest in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. This is the final Sunday of September, the 24th episode of the STEM Files in total. We have, I'm Tariq. I'm your founder, chairman, and chief science officer of Original Man Scientific. And also, my co-host is on with me, Brother Jabril.
Yeah, it's peace and blessings, family. My name is Jabril Muhammad. This is the vice chairman and engineer of Original Man Scientific. And Brother Tariq, did I hear you right? This is the 24th episode on September 24th?
Yeah. Oh, wow, look at that.
Look at that right there.
Okay, cool. 24 on 24. Nice. Okay, cool. Well, this is also season 2, episode 5, 24th overall. Today we have a guest under the age of 21, if I'm not mistaken. Her name is Selena Wilson. Selena, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. And how old are you, by the way?
I'm 20.
20. Nice. See, that I was right. And I love having guests under 21 on this show because they're young and contributing to STEM in amazing ways. So I'm not going to talk about you anymore. I'm going to let you talk about yourself. So, Selena, can you kind of give us a background of who you are and what exactly is you doing STEM?
Well, I'm a second year at The Ohio State University. And right now I'm in pre-health sciences, getting ready to apply to the health sciences program. And I'm minoring in clinical psychology. And then right now I'm working at the Institute of Behavioral Medicine Research. I'm a research assistant, and I'm doing research on pregnant women. And the type of research that we're focusing on, I don't know if you wanted me to get into that a little bit right now.
Go ahead.
The type of research that we're looking at, we're just looking at life stressors, moods, like the psychological and both like physical health of pregnant women, postpartum, and as well as preterm.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Cool. So what brought you to Ohio State?
Honestly, I just really love the programs that they have there. Like, they have so much, especially with it being a big campus and they're widely known. And I know just living in Columbus, that's what I grew up around. So I felt comfortable with that. So I felt like that was the main thing, just growing up, being a Buckeye fan, as well as the amount of programs that they have and opportunities.
Okay, cool. Now, there are quite a few famous scientists that attended Ohio State, right?
I'm sure there have been.
Okay, cool. Because the one that comes up to mind was George Washington Carver. Is that correct?
I don't know my history a lot, but you're probably right.
It's cool. Okay, yeah. That was the school he actually attended before he started working for Tuskegee. And I just thought that was interesting in comparison to where you are now. And in regards to Ohio State, was that your first choice?
Initially, it was my first choice. But before I was thinking of going out of state, I was looking at North Carolina at Chapel Hill. So I know that was like one of the outside schools I was looking out of. But then once I decided, I wanted to stay home, OSU was definitely number one.
Got it. Okay, cool. Now, how were your parents involved in your attendance to Ohio State? Were they supportive? Did they have other things in mind in terms of where you should go to school?
Oh, yeah, they were super supportive. Although my dad, he's a big Florida Gators fan, so of course he wanted me to go there, but he definitely loves the Buckeyes too, especially since his daughter goes there.
Awesome.
As for my mom, She supported me too. I think she loved the fact that I was staying close to home.
Cool. So what is your? Oh yes, sir. Go for it.
Yes, sir. Just to lighten the mood a little bit. So I noticed she said she's from Columbus, Ohio. Now, I was curious if her and her family were sports fans, particularly when it comes to the NBA. And if so, I need to know, because you know Ohio, you know what I'm about to say.
No.
So I need to know just real quick, because I need to know real quick. Selena, are you all basketball fans by chance?
Don't do it, bro.
I'm really not big into basketball. I do like basketball, but I'm not big into it. I watch football more than I watch.
Okay. Well, is your father? Is anybody? Because I need to know.
No.
We might be best. Okay. If you're not big into
brother,
it, I won't go there.
My younger brother.
Okay, younger brother. All right. Well, it would have been bigger if you were, because I like to mess with Tariq about that. So. All right. Okay. Well, I'm gonna leave it at that. So, yes, sir. You go ahead, Tariq. You're not gonna get no smoke today. No smoke today for you.
Oh, man, I knew it was coming. But
the only thing I know about the NBA right now is Melo switching to OKC. That's, like, the only thing.
That is true. That is
true.
It's a big move right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They got to fill it for Durant somehow. They got to do it somehow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man. Okay, so what got you involved in the science? What was your initial introduction to that?
I would have to say my grandmother, she had a home health aide. She ran her own business in her own home. So she had elderly people stay within her home and had people come in and take care of them. And I just grew up around that a lot since I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. And I just feel like just helping people and just even when I was younger, just looking at maybe machines coming in trying to help. You know, the elderly people, maybe they have breathing respirators, stuff like that. I just was always curious about that. And even just science itself, like always wanting to find meaning about stuff. That's always fascinated me and mesmerized me to try to discover new things. So I feel like my grandmother held a big part in that, especially point me towards that direction, I guess you could say.
Okay. And that was your initial reason for wanting to major in nursing?
Yeah, that was definitely it. Like caring for people, just caring for people in general was a number one thing for me. I love to care for people. I know I can worry a lot sometimes, but I just love helping people in any way I can do that. That's what I want to do. Any way that I can help someone. And I feel like I could do the most by going into, the nursing occupation. Even, the medical field itself, research, that's helping. That's a component into helping. Finding out cures, finding out certain things. There's so much you can do with science.
Wow, that's amazing. And I'm going to let Jabril go at it. Just as long as it's not about LeBron James and, really good.
Now, you said it. How do you know the story I was talking about, man? See, there you go. And you mentioned his name without me having to say it. That's because, when you're the best player ever, that's what you got to do. But, all right, I will go into some more technical questions. So, sis, as I was going through your profile, which is very wonderfully written, if I do say so, one thing I noticed that was really interesting is that you were going into nursing initially at a high school, but then you made a change or a shift into health sciences. Can you kind of speak to kind of what went into the shift and also how you made the new major your own in order to keep yourself moving towards your goals?
Mm-hmm. Well, I ended up switching because I was just struggling a lot with one of my classes. It was human physiology. I was struggling a lot. So I ended up having to withdraw from that. But and that kind of, that kind of brought me down a little bit. But, my family supported me, friends. They were just telling me, don't let your dream die. You can do this. It's not going to be on a set path. There will be obstacles you have to overcome. And, like, this was one of them for me. So I just try to stay optimistic. And that following summer, I ended up taking that at a community college in my hometown, passed it with flying colors, transferred it back to OSU. And even though I wasn't able to get into the nursing program because of that one class, I was talking to my advisor, friends, family, and they were just kind of giving me, like, options on what I could do. And I know my advisor was just telling me certain majors, and then she pointed the health sciences major out, and she was all like, well, this could prepare you, like, you can, like, tailor it to what you want. It could prepare you for medical school if you would decide that, physician's assistant, graduate program, nurse practitioner program, you could tailor it to what you want, and it'll still kind of focus on the healthcare aspect. So that's why I kind of decided, like, okay, I'll go with the health sciences major. Like, that seems like something, like, what I want to do, and it's still going to help me get to where I want to go. And minoring in the clinical psychology, that was just, like, something else to add to it. So that's why I felt like that was the right fit for me during, like, a hard time for me, like, transitioning from, like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my bachelor's of science in nursing, then I'm going to do this. But then when that obstacle came up, that changed my plans, but it changed it for the better. Like, I feel pretty good about that decision. Like, I feel, I'm glad I made that decision.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, one thing I heard that a lot of times people struggle with is, you know, when you go through anything, whether it's schooling, whether it's, you know, getting healthy, weightlifting, sports, there's always a difficulty factor attached to everything of value. And a lot of times, though, people, if they don't have the right guidance, if they don't have people in their corner, you know, they can sometimes feel or be deterred and end up, you know, doing things that they got passionate about and didn't set forward for in the beginning. So I know, and I know a lot of people got people with bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, PhDs that are doing things totally outside of the realm of what they went to school for a number of reasons, you know, if it's like debt and stuff, but particularly if they felt that they didn't have support. So, you know, one thing I heard is that you had support from those friends, family, as well as advisors in your, you know, I guess major, and that was very important. So I guess if you could speak to some of those familial and, like, friendships that you had that kind of helped you, if you had specific people to shout out or just in general people that helped you and kept you motivated even when you went through that part of your life.
Yes. I mean, I know, like I mentioned, my advisor at OSU was Margo Coates. Love her. Thank you, thank you, thank you. She helped me, like, on deciding it, but, like, with the social, like, support behind it as well. Like, my parents, I know my dad was, like, a major one. He was just telling me, like, it's okay. Like, things are not always going to go your way, but you need to always make sure that you have a plan B. And, like, my dad was really my rock during that hard time. Like, he really was my rock. And, like, friends as well, they were there to support me. I know my roommate was. Like, it, shout out to all of them.
Awesome, awesome. And, you know, I as an engineer, you know, engineering student, I went to the University of Pennsylvania. I studied engineering. Mm-hmm. And everyone says whenever you study anything in STEM, engineering or whatever, it's a lot about, you know, can you just weather the storm? You know what I'm saying? You feel like sometimes you look at your other classmates that are in, you know, maybe it's some type of English major or whatever. And not to say that those are any less difficult, but just the fact that you feel like no one's ever studying as much as you, or people got papers and stuff, they can kind of be less stressed with a paper versus a test, you know. What kept me going is the fact that I knew what I was there for, too, and what my purpose was to bring something back that could be utilized for the advancement of people and society. So that's a big thing. So I guess going into that, and getting more technical, you know, you talking about pregnant women, you know, one thing with, like, pregnancies and everything, science has changed so much, and there's a lot that goes into, you know, having children and the before and after, you know, processes involved. I guess could you kind of speak to, you know, just that process in terms of those stresses a little bit, the things you've come across in terms of, you know, what's present before and after in terms of general stress?
For pregnant for pregnant women, correct?
Yes, yes.
Well, I know looking at preterm, and this is research, I just want to let everyone know, this is research that I'm a research assistant for Dr. Lisa Christian. Just want to put that out there at OSU. And I know, like, in looking at preterm, like, age could have a big factor. Maybe you have someone who's young and maybe their family might not be as accepting. Or it could also be just as well as, like, their partner. There's so many aspects that you could add to it, even physiological, like maybe weight could be another factor that could cause stress on them. Gaining weight during pregnancy, looking at postpartum, just having a new baby in your life, that can be overwhelming, especially if you're a new mother, like you've never experienced that before, and you don't know what's going to come at you. You have people who can help you, they can tell you, like help you prepare and everything, but to actually be in it, that's on a whole nother level. That's something that you'll have to learn as you go on. But just outside factors, internal factors, how you feel psychologically about it, as well as I mentioned before, like even outside factors like family, friends, they can have a huge effect on you. And your health as well, your health. And I know in our research, we were looking at these life stressors as well, maybe causing an effect to like your immune response. Maybe if you're more happy, your immune system is high so you don't get sick as much. Or maybe if you're more sad, you have more sadness in your psychological state, then maybe that'll bring your immune system down and you could potentially get sick more. So we've looked at stuff like that. We're currently looking at it right now. So that's just the gist of like a little bit of that.
Okay. And then my last question, that was wonderful. You know, I think sometimes, particularly men, you know, as we don't have children, we just kind of have a little bit to do in the beginning. But we kind of can belittle the process, you know, because there's not only the physical, you know what I'm saying, and you talk about the psychological, but can you particularly talk about if there's been any research done that you know of on the image put forth in media as it pertains to women and figure and then going into like pregnancy and like how that can play a part in the psyche?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't done a lot of research on that specifically, but based on what I grew up around in society, when talking about like, you know, figures in America, society usually thinks of a woman as being skinny and like facial features, maybe being a certain way, woman wearing makeup, looking pretty, this and that. And I feel like for women within the United States, I can't speak of other countries because, you know, cultural differences, but women probably might feel self-conscious when they do become pregnant because their body's changing and it's not going to necessarily meet society's standards. So that could have a huge effect on them. So society could definitely play a major role in that, in creating an emotional, how can I say this? Can create a change in like how you feel about yourself. So that's how I feel about it. Like from my view of society.
Right. Okay. That's wonderful. You know, that's definitely big. It's like you said, with media and like the being skinny and, you know, makeup and everything and stuff like that really can kind of help in the negative outlook that women will have during pregnancy. I think it's up to the surrounding support network to kind of assist in that. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Tariq, I guess back to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And just in regards to the way women are being treated, and especially young women, and based on just their appearance alone, have you ever had to console or comfort someone that had went through that like maybe in your childhood or recently, or anyone that you know of?
I'm sure I have. I'm trying to think. Give me just a second. Well, I know I have, like, I have had some family members who personally have felt self-conscious about themselves when they were younger, before they had kids. They used to be skinny mini, and, you know, like, that was them. Like, that's what they knew. Like, that's what they were used to. And once they had their kids, after that, you know, they gained a lot more weight, and it was hard to lose the weight more. So they felt more self-conscious about themselves, and it lowered their self-esteem. But at the same time, like, you know, coming to family, like us supporting them, I feel like that kind of made them feel more comfortable in their bodies. Not saying that they were unhealthy or anything, because, you know, healthy, just because you're skinny doesn't mean you're healthy. But
right.
Just like them coming to family members and like talking to them, that kind of just helped initiate, like, okay, like, what can I do to get to a point where I feel good about myself? And I know, like, for one of my cousins, she would talk to me and my mom, and she would just let us know, like, how she felt, and we would just tell her, like, it's okay. Like, you can feel comfortable in the skin that you're in.
Right.
So I know, like, talking to someone about it can, like, help them feel good about themselves, just to let it out. And if they want to reach a goal, just help them work towards making and setting a goal. Maybe, like, if they want to lose 10 pounds, maybe you can just set up a diet, like, okay, I'm going to try to eat these certain kind of foods, or I'm going to try to work out 2 times a week just to start out. Just certain things to help them reach their goals. But it doesn't have to be necessarily connected to weight, but just other psychological things. But that's just one that kind of popped up in my head.
Okay, cool. Now, the reason I ask is because it's very important that women are held to a high regard in society, because women are a very important part of society. And I personally, I grew up with 2 sisters and a single mother. So my household was, I was pretty much the only guy in my household. So that with that particular dynamic, I took the care and responsibility of women very seriously. Coming from someone that does medical research in a field dealing with women, how important is it to you that women are held in a higher regard in everyone's view?
Oh, I feel like it's definitely, like, a big thing, because I feel like you said, like, societies and their standards, when they look at women, they might think, you know, men are higher than women. Or even looking at, like, oh, like, men get paid more money than women do, and right, this and that. And, like, equality is a big thing, but in no way should you look at a person because of their gender in a different way. And I feel like in looking at women, pregnant women specifically, that you shouldn't discriminate in any way. They're people just like you. They have their day-to-day things that they have to go through just like you do. Everyone should be on the same playing field. Like, you shouldn't have any negative bias, but, I mean, like, everyone, you know, it's hard not to judge people. You get first impressions, you get certain things, but I personally feel that everyone should be put on the same, like, when looking and meeting someone new, like, you should look at them with nothing, no prejudgments, I guess. You should just let them come and talk to you so you can get to know them and make you hopefully a good judgment about that person and not a negative. But with society and, like, stereotypes and stuff that's going on, they kind of put a prejudgment in your head. So once you look at someone, like, maybe you might see 16-year-old woman, I'm sorry, a 16-year-old woman who's pregnant, and you're just thinking like, oh, okay, like she got pregnant at a young age. She was probably just out and about doing this, and you shouldn't have that prejudgment in your head. You don't know what she's been through. You don't know her story. You don't know her story.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely important. And being someone that in a career like you have now, where there are oftentimes women are not taken seriously in the area of science, which I think is weird because so many women have contributed to science in so many different areas. Have you yourself ever been treated differently because of your gender in any aspect of your life, especially in the career of science? And it's okay if you don't want to, you know, answer that particular question.
Oh, no, that's fine. In the career of science, I don't think I have, but, like, on a personal level, mm-hmm. I feel like gender roles plays a big part in my life, especially in my family. I know, even to the little things, like, I know when I'm with my dad and my brothers, and we might be moving stuff, or maybe there's yard work that needs to be done, even going down to stuff like that, and they might just be like, no, like, this is a job for the boys, like, we got this, we can do this, and I'm just like,
right.
You know, like, I can help too, like, I'm okay, I can mow the lawn, I can I can do like this. So I feel like little things like that are kind of set in stone through, like, family values and, like, gender roles you kind of grow up with, mm-hmm. you kind of get used to that. I mean, if you talk to my dad and my brothers, they might call me a tomboy, but I just like to I like to do both things that society would look at as, like, oh, like a boy's supposed to do this, a guy's supposed to do this, stuff like that. Like, I've dealt with little things like that.
Got it. Now, have there ever been times where that may have been mistaken for chivalry? Like, have you ever seen something like that where someone may be offended when really all the guy was probably trying to do was be a little bit chivalrous and kind of, you know, step up and do it himself and not have to, you know, ask a woman to do it? But have you ever witnessed something like that or been through anything like that?
I feel like, okay, I'll explain this. I don't know if this is probably going to answer your question. I feel like I have, like, just going back to my family and, like, the gender roles that we kind of play. I know my dad, he's a construction worker, and mm-hmm. during the summer, my brothers, they'll usually, they might help him out during the summer and, like, go to work with him. And I know for me, during the summer, I was just like, oh, like, Dad, can I come work with you and this and that? And he's just like, no, like, I don't want you to, you know, like, get hurt or this and that. Like, I understand he's caring for me and he's, you know, but I just feel like I could also, you know, help out too, even though sometimes, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, that's definitely
hard too. And I'm not as strong to move certain things, but.
Right. Well, that definitely explained it. I'm sorry, Jabril, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to just comment on that. You know, I can understand, you know, the frustration, I think, of women when it comes to feeling as though, you know, particularly in family, I guess feeling like they might be locked out from those more physical activities or someone's trying to limit them, but really, when you get to the core, whether someone thinks it's archaic or old or not, what it really is men, as you know, my understanding and as I've been raised, is women can do all things men can do, and sometimes better. But what it is we look historically speaking, and really in almost the natural inclination, men really form roles as protectors, and not saying that women can't protect themselves, but that's kind of how things, if you look at it, kind of naturally play out. And I think what your father wants is to you to know that, you know, the family know, has you and, like, you know, has your best interest at heart, and not so much that you can help, but, you know, it's just no dad really wants his daughter to be out there, like, with all this heavy lifting and everything, getting scrapes and whatnot. You know, that's now me. Now, I would say, I think that if I had a daughter, would I want her per se? No, but could it be kind of cool? Yeah, because you want to help dad out. But that's case by case. And I think that, you know, it's just kind of family to family how things want to be done. But, you know, and I know this, you know, because you know your family more than, like, I would anybody else. It's not I would never think it's something to try to limit you more so than something just to kind of, you know, have that, you know, fatherly protector type vibe where it's, you know, I don't want you doing this because you're my daughter type thing. But that's something that's really big in a lot of households and society in general.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the reason, you know, Selena, I was kind of asking those kinds of questions was because, to me, I think a lot of the energy and time you put into your whatever you're doing in terms of your career has a lot to do with family background and how your upbringing was, you know. So I kind of wanted to go beneath the surface of what you're doing, and now that we kind of you know went below the surface, I kind of want to return to the surface and get some air, and kind of go into your research career and what you're doing now. How has it been for you as a researcher? Like when you go to the lab or work with the doctor you're working with every day, how does it feel, or how does it come across to you as being a researcher and a scientist?
It feels great for me. I started this position last year, my freshman year, and I was super nervous, like, first day. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Like, I really don't have research background. And once I got there, everyone was nice. I met my supervisor. I met the doctor that I'm working with. Everyone was just, like, really nice, very open. And once they started teaching me, like, certain things we were doing, like, it started to become easy to me. I know certain things I do as a research assistant, I'll help analyze data that we get. I'll help out with the interviews that we conduct. And, like, within the interviews, we'll just take physiological measures, weight, temperature, stuff like that, as well as have our participants do surveys, and we'll just read, you know, the consent form, let them know what our study's about, their rights as a participant in our study. Other things that I've done, I'll help out in the lab, so, like, we'll go get the cord blood, and we usually, like, take the blood and everything to the nurses, phlebotomists, and they'll, like, work on that, and we'll usually, like, take that back to the lab to try to keep track of everything. Just those are the certain aspects that I've done, and I just feel like I'm learning a lot more about pregnant women than the first day that I got there, because before I didn't really know anything about pregnant women. And now I feel like I'm starting to get to know a little bit more. Like, certain foods you can't eat.
Right.
I don't know. There's just a whole bunch that goes into pregnancy and what, like, the pregnant women themselves, they may choose to do certain things that other pregnant women would not. But it's just, like, there's just so much to learn. I'm still learning right now. There's just so much to learn.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Now, if there is a pregnant woman listening, what are some of the foods that they should eat? Like, what are the best foods to eat, and what are not the best foods to eat?
Well, some of the foods that I know in our survey, we'll usually ask, like jellyfish. Certain types of fish. Let me see.
You said jellyfish?
Not jellyfish, but I'm sorry.
I'm like, whoa.
Let me see. I'm sorry. I'm trying to look at our page.
Oh, you're fine.
Okay. That's what it was. Shellfish. Shellfish. Not jellyfish, but shellfish. That's one. I know when I was talking to my supervisor, since she's been, like, on the researching staff for a while, she was telling me, like, we'll ask them these questions. And we'll usually ask them these questions. And for some women, they may have had shellfish. And we just will, like, we won't try to, like, since it's our study, we won't try to advise them a lot. But, I know shellfish is one of the main ones that we think of. Like, when I've spoke with my supervisor, that's not necessarily the best to have during your pregnancy. Because like with certain fish, they could have mercury, like within the fish. So I know that could cause a risk in causing defects and stuff like that throughout the pregnancy.
Go ahead. I forgot you.
There you go.
You asked what are the good ones to eat too. So I was just going to ask that again.
Okay. Well, are there any foods that you personally would recommend a pregnant woman consume other than shellfish that you can, you know, think of in terms of just the nutritional value?
Nutritional value. I'm still learning, like I said. I'm still learning about some of the things.
That's great. It's better for somebody to, you know, and say, you know, they don't know than to fake it and try to tell someone anyway. Yeah. Okay, cool. Now in terms of the different tasks that you're able to do in the lab, did you ever get queasy with anything, like, you know, with the cord blood or anything else that you may have seen in the lab?
No, I feel like I'm very comfortable with everything. I know some people really do get queasy at the sight of blood and certain things, but I feel pretty comfortable with that. All of that.
Okay.
So.
Cool. Do you get, like, jokes or anything like that when people know that you're working with blood or anything like that?
I'm trying to think of a joke. I have a couple of times, but I can't remember the joke at the top of my head.
Awesome. Okay, Jabril, you on?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes, sir.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, so I was just, you know, I guess, yeah, I know you talked about the disclosure and everything with, you know, patients and whatnot, but is there any quantitative, you know, data that you came across, like, generally, you know, through research or through, like, going over some of the research your professor or supervisor has done that kind of piqued your interest that you could share?
The current research I'm doing right now. Is that what you're talking
about? You're doing right now, or anything that you come across, if you had any literature that you were looking at before you kind of got started, you know, kind of going into the pregnancy with women and everything, and any type of data that you found to be interesting that you could kind of looked more into, or just you found interesting when you looked at it?
I feel like I just found it interesting, like, when I looked at it. I know when I first started, they were working on a different type of research than what they're working on currently. They were working on research with flu, and they were giving pregnant women a flu vaccine during their, I want to say, third trimester, but don't quote me on that. You can look online.
Okay.
This was like research they were doing, like, right as I came and ended. But they were kind of looking at how it transferred, like, the effects it had on the mother, as well as how it transferred to the newborn itself. And I know they were analyzing the antibodies from the cord blood of the newborn when the baby was born, as well as the antibodies from the mother. And I believe, like, it did show, like, high levels of the antibodies within the baby because newborns aren't able to get any certain types of vaccines until they're 6 months of age. So that's why in Dr. Lisa Christian's research, she was taking the initiative to study, like, the effects the flu vaccine had on hopefully building up the newborn's immune system in hopes of preventing them from getting sick during that first six-month period before they're able to get any type of vaccinations. So I know that was the research they were working on, and that kind of, like, had me interested a little bit before I kind of dove in, but that was something I was looking at that they were working on.
Okay. That sounds really cool. And I guess, you know, one thing I find whenever I learned anything, you would find young people know stuff. Did you find yourself, you know, talking to friends and family, you know, about the thing, like pregnant people, about the things you're learning? Like, hey, you know, maybe you should try this food. Or, you know, you maybe shouldn't really eat that because of X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, I heard this. Maybe you can try this. Stuff like that, you know, kind of with people you know.
Just like anything, like just not just dealing with pregnancy or dealing with the pregnancy.
Yeah, dealing with pregnancy and like people that you know, like just kind of like spreading any of your newfound knowledge, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I know I spoke with some family members, and like when I had talked to them about the flu and the flu study that Dr. Lisa Christian was working on, and some of my family members were just like, I don't, flu vaccine, you know, getting that while you're pregnant, isn't that high risk? Could it do this to the baby? And then I know, like, some of my family members, they're against getting the flu vaccine because they think, you know, they'll get sick or just certain things they have against it. So they kind of had a negative feeling about the study that I mentioned to them, but like actually being in the research and seeing like the results that were, you know, that were collected, it kind of seemed like it had a positive effect.
Mm. Okay. Wonderful. And that's always good. You know, whenever you have something of value, being able to share it with other people and them kind of benefit in a similar way you've benefited, you know, them more on a physical level and you on the intellectual level, but that's definitely good. And I guess, so, you know, with this research, you know, I guess, what are some of your short-term goals that pertain to the research? I guess, are there certain things that you want to know, or how do you see yourself weaving the research into those later years in school and hopefully your eventual career?
Mm-hmm. Well, like, my goals, like, potentially, I mean, I would love to continue, like, being a part of, like, the lab with Dr. Christian, potentially, like, till I graduate. I know some of the graduates that just left and went to, like, medical school and graduate school, I know they talked to me and they said that, you know, they felt like this was really preparing them and like opening their eyes in the science world. And I feel like I'm already beginning to see that a little bit, just looking at this side of research. I feel like it's opening my eyes a little bit. And like, it's a good experience. It's a good experience. I know it will be something good to put on my resume as well. And not just to put it on my, you know, on a piece of paper, but I'm actually learning something from it on a whole nother level. And the science world, it just opens your eyes a lot and you discover so much more.
Wow. That's awesome. It seems like, you know, I can definitely tell your love of this you know what I'm saying, like the lab and everything, the support network and kind of what you want to do going forward. So it's definitely always good because, you know, you find people, you know, that and this is big. A lot of people go to college, go into professional careers because their family or parents or whatever, or they feel a pressure, you know, to do, quote, unquote, something with your life or to do, you know, what's going to get you a lot of money. And not that, you know, money isn't necessary or success doesn't have multiple facets to it, but you all, whenever you do anything like in medicine, particularly in STEM, I tell people, like, you got to love it because there's going to be times when you absolutely hate it, like, absolutely,
mm-hmm.
when you want to, like, just kill it, when you want to just end it, you know, all that, you know. So I think that it's very important that you have a specific goal in mind when you go into STEM and make sure that you always return to that whenever there's difficulty and even when there's those good times. So, you know, this is why I kept going. This is exactly why I kept going. This is the blessing I got for staying on the path. So thank you very much for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And Tariq, back to you.
Yes, yes. Thank you. We I had a quick question about the vaccine part. What are your personal views on vaccines aside from the research you're doing?
Well, personally, I haven't really done a whole like research outside of like, you know, the research I'm a part of on vaccines. And I didn't get my first vaccine until last year, my first flu vaccination until last year because it was a requirement working with pregnant women. And
mm-hmm.
Like I said before, a lot of my family members are against it. And they're just like, last time I got it, I got sick and stuff like this. And I know everyone has their own views. Me personally, I feel comfortable with it. I mean, especially I still have a lot to learn. Like, I should probably look more into it. But I feel like it could have a positive effect on everyone, even me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, did you want me to address, like, using it, if I were to, like, use it, even, like, if I were to get the vaccine?
Not really.
You know, when I'm pregnant,
yeah,
or
yeah, would you? Would that be something that you would do?
I mean, honestly, like with this research that I've been studying with, I know I need to look at other studies, but I feel pretty positive that I would.
Okay, cool. Okay, have you heard anyone else say anything negative about vaccines, like? Maybe in your university, or maybe someone in family or any friends.
Yeah, I have a close friend, and I know she grew up like with a family who was highly against it, and she just had a very strong correlation with that. Even like currently, she still doesn't agree with vaccinations. I don't
mm-hmm.
specifically remember her reasoning, but just like her family specifically, they're just highly against it. And they like not even focusing on just the flu vaccine, just other vaccinations. They were just highly against the thought of getting it. But like I said, I haven't done a lot of research on, you know, the pros and cons or what other people think, like the negative side of vaccinations as well as the positive side of getting vaccinations. I haven't looked at that, but I do have certain, you know, I have a close friend who's, her whole family's highly against it.
Okay, cool. Now, when you do find more information on the vaccines and you've gotten further along in your research, we would love to have you back on and kind of give us some of the other things that you found with vaccines. Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yes, definitely.
Okay,
definitely.
Cool. Awesome. So what are some of the one of the things that I read in your bio, you guys are also studying the psychological effects, like life stresses, mood, social support. What are some of your findings in regards to that, in regards to just the influence of those three things on a pregnant woman or expecting mother?
I mean, I can't really comment on that because I haven't fully looked at, you know, the results specifically in that area, okay. And I know we're still working on that.
Right. Have you observed any of those things aside from your research? Are there things that you know about that may be present to you that you haven't yet discovered in your research that you just know about offhand and seen someone go through that?
I guess a life stressor could be just going back to partners,
right.
The partner of the pregnant woman. I've had personal family members, even friends, who their partner has left them, and that's definitely kind of hit them hard and caused them to go to become, like, more depressed. And not that I personally feel that how can I describe this? I mean, I feel like if you have a partner and, like, you both, you know, took part in that, like, they should at least, you know, they need to support that child, even if you guys have your differences. And I know for some of, like, my friends, my family members, the father figure is not in the picture. And I just feel like that just causes, like, the pregnant woman to kind of, like, sometimes, or, like, my family members and friends that I've dealt with, to go into a depressed state. And although, you know, like, you know, women can be independent, they don't need a man, you know, like, what everyone, you know, some people might take that. I feel like everyone needs to have some sort of support system, because, you know, like, people can leave you or not support you. So just to have some type of social support can be a good thing.
Right. Now I want to kind of go into your freshman year, you know, and I have something in common with you. That when I was in my freshman year at Virginia State, I think about maybe about 3 weeks in, I also earned a research position in the Agricultural Research Station on campus. And the feeling I had was incredible because I had just got there, you know. So
yeah.
When you got your position as a freshman, you know, how did that make you feel? Like, how was it? What did it feel like to be so young and to be so new on campus and to have such an important role to play while you were there?
Mm-hmm. I felt great. I was so happy. Like, I was, out of all of my friends, I was probably, like, the only one, honestly, who already had, like, a research position job or had any type of job on campus, let alone let it be a research position.
Right, right.
So that was definitely exciting, but at the same time, it was a little overwhelming, like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't have any kind of, like, research background besides, you know, what I've learned in, like, high school science classes. So I know, like, that was a big thing. Campus, that was another big thing for me. Campus, like, OSU's a big campus. It's not small. So getting
right.
used to where everything was, try to, like, find out what cliques I wanted to be in, what clubs, and just stuff like that. That was a big thing. I know it was hard for me in the beginning to find out, like I said, like, my cliques, who I wanted to hang around. I knew a lot of people since I was from Columbus, but just trying to find groups that I wanted to be in. That was a little challenging in the beginning.
Right. Now, you were about 17, 18 at the time?
I want to say 18.
Okay, cool. Now, how important is it for young people to get involved in STEM? Like, how early on do you think that they should be exposed to something like that?
I feel like being exposed in STEM, even at a younger age, I mean, it could honestly even start as a child, like if you grow up around that. But I just feel like being in STEM is just an amazing thing because you're learning about, like, new science technology. There's stuff coming out every year, new science breakthroughs, a whole bunch of stuff. You can learn from it. Science is never ending. Science is never ending, and there's so much that, you know, can be taught to you, but there's also so much to learn. And, like, in a revolutionizing world, there's so much to learn. And I love the thought of learning. As much as, you know, sometimes I might feel like, oh, my gosh, I have to study for this exam. I have to do this. I really do love learning. That's a major component. I love to learn about things. And with science, you can never stop learning. You're learning about new things every day. So I think that's one of the things. Like, even to start at a young age, that's a good thing.
Right, right. Wow. So do you have anyone else in your family that's in STEM or in science in any way?
I'm trying to think. Do I? I have a big family. I think I do actually have some cousins who are in research. I haven't spoke to them in a while, but I do think I have some cousins who are in research and biomedical.
Biomedical?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
And then I do have a cousin who's a nurse. Yeah, she's a nurse. I think she's in a nurse practitioner program right now. What I want to do.
Awesome. Have you reached out to her at all to try to get some guidance in terms of that?
Yes. I'm not super close with her, but I have reached out to her, and she talked to me. She was just kind of explaining to me, like, what she's been through and how, like, her personally, like, to just never, like, just make your dream a reality. Like, never give up. Like, she went through a lot. And, like, still continuing her passion. She's still continuing to, like, pursue her degree and make sure she reaches her goal.
Awesome. Wow. This is cool. It's fun getting to know young scientists and people that are budding into their careers. But, Jabril, did you have anything you'd like to go for?
You know, I'm just sitting here just taking it all in, you know, just hearing. You know, because I know one thing you said is that you were nervous coming on, and you're just doing a wonderful job just, you know, going through everything, taking it one question at a time. So I definitely want to commend you on that.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I just think back to my freshman year, and you mentioned, you know, knowing kind of those other type of things you want to be involved in. So, you know, one thing that's important for me is I always talk about balance. And, you know, it's very difficult to kind of, you know, I guess, study all the time, do research all the time, and not have any outlet. So I guess, can you speak to not only the importance of having an outlet, but what are some of your, if you have any outlets you do outside of research and schoolwork at your current school?
Yeah, I know it can get overwhelming with studying all the time, staying focused, going to classes. So it's, for me, like, I love to run. That's one of my major things. Love.
You said
love,
you love what?
To run.
Oh, okay.
I love to run, so that's one of the things I try to do. I ran track in high school, so on my spare time I like to run. This year I'm even trying to join a running club, so I've been going to those meetings. Something else, I mean, just, you know, hanging out with friends, going out with friends. Like, that's a major thing. Just talking to people that are on your level, hanging out with people, whether it be, you know, maybe just go doing an activity like bowling late at night or going to a club or just a whole bunch of stuff. Just depending on what you like and what your interests are, like, there's so much you can do to not, like, to keep a balance, because you don't always want to just be focused on school. I feel like at some point you'll just have, like, a breaking point, and you're like, oh, my gosh, like, I need to do something. And then you'll just have a mental breakdown. So I feel like just having a balance, work, school, and, like, you know, a little fun time, like, that's a good thing. So time management is key with that. Time management.
Yeah, absolutely. Time management. You said it exactly right. You know, sometimes, you know, the balance with that is like, all right, so I'm going to manage my time. I'm going to have like 60% gym, you know, 30%, you know, eat at the cafeteria, 10% study. Well, obviously, that doesn't add up to, you know, doing well in school, right? So just on a basic level. So it's the biggest thing, I think, for me, I think for all of young people, if anyone's listening too, is that it's very important to understand that when you go to college and, you know, family or whoever works hard to help send you, people are expecting a return on their investment, and rightfully so. You know, if I'm an investor and I'm looking at a company and I put money into that company, I need my money to come back to me, not only make what I got back so it'll be a wash, but I'm expecting a profit. So when we go to these institutions and we study and we, you know, go through these classes, you know, we think about it, you know, and all of us may miss a class, but, you know, you miss a class, it's like thousands of dollars missing that one course.
So
let us, you know, we got to understand, you know, the seriousness of bringing something back, you know, to those, to society, but also those who like sent us there. You know, they're expecting us to, you know, to do them proud and also just do ourselves proud. There's nothing better than not finding your purpose and being productive in a society that, like, you know, there's a lot of otherwise or other things going on. So, you know, definitely. But that balance is key. Definitely key.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what else? I had something else. But yeah, I don't know. She started talking about, you know, just everything, Teresa. I had to go there, you know, on that balance and everything. Had to
Oh, no problem. Up. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I actually
do you have any?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. You can go ahead.
I was going to say, do you have any, have you had any mentors or are there any role models in your life you look up to, particularly either in STEM or just people who have looked out for you on a day-to-day that you just strive to be like in your life?
Mm-hmm. I would have to say two people in my life. The first one I would have to say is my grandmother. She passed away.
I didn't hear that.
Thank you. But my grandmother, she was the one, like I said, who really instilled a lot of stuff in me. She instilled a lot of my moral values, as well as just, like, day-to-day. Like, she just – I was always with her. Like, I was the favorite grandchild. But, my grandmother, she definitely guided me a lot, and she gave me good advice. And the second person I would have to say is my dad. Although my dad, you know, he gives me advice out of tough love. He's definitely been a major part of my life, instilling again like a whole bunch of moral values on what I should do, what I should strive to be, what my focus should be on. Like, he's helped prepare me for, like, the real world. He's helped prepare me. And I know, like, there's only so much you can do for your child before they enter the real world. And I just constantly try to tell my dad, you know, like, I'm listening to your advice. But at the same time, you know, I have to go out into the real world myself, and I have to experience it. So those are the two prominent people in my life, who have definitely had a major influence in my life, and especially, like, you know, God. Like, God's definitely number one to me. Like, for me, like, God's my number one.
First and foremost, God. That's right. Absolutely. Hey, you mentioned earlier that you can rhyme, right? Like, that's what you like to do, rhyming?
I like to rhyme. I don't remember that.
No, she said running, bro.
No, you can't go try to do that.
Running.
Right, yeah, rhyming. So, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but, like, can you rhyme for us a little bit right now?
Run for a little right now?
Well, she said
yeah,
run,
like a little
bro.
Bit.
She didn't say rhyme.
She say that again?
She said run.
She
as
said
in like
run.
Run?
Oh, no,
wow. I'm
oh,
so
man,
sorry.
You trying to put me on the wrong spot. Like,
no.
Damn.
Like,
oh, man.
I'm so sorry. I thought you sounded like you said rhyme.
I mean,
I'm
I can
so
run
sorry.
Right now, but...
No,
wow.
I'm not going to make you do that. I thought, oh, God. So I'm going to edit this part
all
from
good.
The show. So, all right, cool. So how often do you run? Like, is it something you do for exercise or is it kind of leisure?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. When I'm not bombarded by a lot of homework and, like, study time, I'll usually try to work out. Like, I'll incorporate running into my workout maybe, like, 3 to 4 times a week. Other than that, if I just leisurely run, it might be 2 to 3 times a week.
Okay.
And that's
cool.
And I know, like, I feel like it's more consistent when I'm on campus. When I'm home, it's kind of like, eh. But I need to run more when I'm on my own.
Got it. Okay, cool. So one of the things we like to, we're actually coming towards the conclusion of the show. One of the things I like to ask our guests. Matter of fact, before we do that, Jabril, do you have anything you'd like to ask real quick?
No, I'm still laughing at the rhyming.
Well, I was hoping we could forget about that.
No. See, I said you wasn't going to get any smoke, but you kind of walked into the smoke with that one right there, so... You know, I kind of got to, you got to have that one. But, yeah, you can continue. I'm just going to be over here.
Oh, man. I kind of set myself up on that one. But I wanted to ask you, Selena, is there anything, well, when it comes to science, you know, this is something that we ask all of our guests. If you were walking down the street and someone random asked you what science is and what it meant to you personally, what would you tell them?
Well, I mean, like I've mentioned before, I think about science being like, excuse me, about science being revolutionizing and like never ending, like on, like never ending findings on research and knowledge about things. I feel like I would explain that to them about how knowledge. How science, I mean, I feel like science is knowledge. I feel like science is knowledge. But, like, science isn't the only type of knowledge, but I feel like science can be a stepping stone to finding out things. And
right.
It's never going to end. Like I said, it's never ending. Like, you're going to continue to find out new techniques, new methods, new studies, like everything new, it's just a continuance.
Right,
so
right,
that,
absolutely.
That's what I think of science when it comes to mind, like the actual term.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And like breaking
awesome.
It, like in breakthroughs, like just stuff like that. That's what I think of science when it comes to mind.
Mm. So does your love for science, does it keep you in science when things get a little challenging? Does that keep you involved in what you do in science?
Oh yeah. It definitely keeps me within science. Like even if I might be on if I'm in my one of my like science classes, or even if I'm online and something pops up about a study, I might, you know, click on it and I'll just read it and just be amazed, like, wow, like, this is really happening. Like, they're actually, I mean, I probably should be doing more research on how credible that study is, but even just, like, clicking on certain things and reading about scientific studies on even things like gene therapy, certain things like, that kind of amazes me, like, oh, like, this is really going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting topic. Okay, cool. Well, we thank you so much, Selena, for coming on the show. We hope to have you again. It has definitely been a great experience learning from you and getting to know more about what you do in your research. We're more than welcome to come again, like when you get a little further in your research and you get to know a little bit more about what you're studying. We would definitely love to have you back. Jabril, what about you? Anything you'd like to add?
Well, again, I definitely echo everything Tariq said. Definitely want to have you back and learn more about all the research you're doing and any more you like to share. You know, it was a pleasure having you, working through all your answers, hearing the, you know, just the excitement and love you express, not only for the research you have, but just kind of for living and for kind of struggling through and going through life and being so open with, you know, moving from nursing into, you know, health sciences and everything. So we really appreciate you for that.
Yeah.
And for all those listening, you know, we do this every week. This is the STEM Files. It's been another cracking open. Just going further into some of the things that we're working on at Original Man Scientific, we still have our STEM-based competition, online competition out where anyone, you know, any student ages, what's the age range again? Or the not the age range, but the grade range again, Brother Tariq?
It's 8 to 18.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about from from like second grade onto 12th grade.
Yes, sir. So yes, well, anyone can submit any type of like game, technology, anything that they're working on, and we're giving out cash prizes. So it's our STEM-based competition, and all submissions are going until October 10th, or was that October?
It's the expo?
No, not the expo, the competition.
The competition, the registration ends actually September 30th. We might actually be extending it to sometime in October. Right.
Okay. Right. Okay, so we are doing that. And then you can go to, it's yistemcomp.com, correct?
Right, Y-S-Y-I-S, stemcomp.com, yes. Y-I-S. Why?
Okay,
yes,
right.
Yeah, right. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so yistemcomp.com. And also, we have a science expo. This is part of the broader Ministry of Science and Technology. We have an expo on November 11th. Student Minister Nuri Muhammad will be keynote. We'll have our keynote address. It is Stimulate the Mind. And we're going into a series of workshops related to STEM. There's going to be, well, you know what, I'll let Brother Tariq go into the different workshops. We're going to have, what, Navy Beam-based things, a math-based workshop. What else are we going to have, Brother Tariq?
We're going to have solar technology-based workshops. Also, just anything related to green technology. We're going to have a workshop on sickle cell. Also, a workshop on building your brand on social media, as well as entrepreneurship in the sciences. So those are going to be just a few topics that we're going to be focusing on, as well as women in medicine. That's another thing we're going to be focusing on. So, Selena, if you want to come to Chicago on November 11th, Saturday, that's definitely a workshop I know you'd be interested in. And, yeah, it's a free event, so you're more than welcome to attend. If anyone wants to know more information about that, just go to noimost.org. Once again, that's noimost.org, and click on the National Expo tab.
All right, and if there's not anything else, really quickly before we cut, Selena, is there any question that you have for us? I know that's something that we don't readily do, but it just crossed my mind just now before we kind of close up.
Nope, I think that was it.
Okay, well,
okay, cool.
Wonderful. If you want any more information on what we just spoke about, or kind of want to keep in touch, you know, Our information is definitely open to you. We love to kind of touch base with those we had on the show as just one more connection in our broader network as we move forward and try to spread STEM throughout the world, okay?
Definitely. Thank you for having me today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for blessing us with your presence. Really appreciate it. All right.
You're welcome.
So with that,
all right, cool.
Another cracking open of the STEM files. My name is Jabril Muhammad. I am the Vice Chairman and Materials Engineer of Original Man Scientific. I am the co-host and my host, Tariq Muhammad. And so you want to close us out?
Yes, sir. But real quick before we close out, two more things. Selena, what's the best way for people to contact you if they want to know more about your research?
Well, I know you can go online to the OSU Wexner Medical Center website, or you can just type in OSU Pregnant Woman Study, and we should be the first ones mm-hmm. to pop up on the search engine.
Okay. Awesome, awesome. And also, our next guest on the STEM Files is going to be actually the one-year anniversary of our show. His name is Kushik Mantra-Pragada. He's a medical student at Charles E. Schmidt College of Medicine in Florida, and he's also a good friend of mine. We met about 5 years ago, and his career goal is to be a neurosurgeon. So he's going to be the guest on our show next Sunday, October 1st.
Alrighty.
And that's it.
Alrighty. Once again, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. All right, this has just been another edition of the STEM Files. Good evening, everyone.
Evening. Peace.